Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you've already done and for the way your Holy Spirit is moving in our hearts and our lives. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing is at work, the anointing that was administered to your people today, that it is working, affecting a healing and a cure and deliverance and freedom. We thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for your word right now. I thank you that the Holy Spirit gives me utterance right now to speak your word and to communicate this truth, Lord, as you've put it on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 this morning, here in the Christmas season. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Oh, super kids, yes, you may be dismissed. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And the light, notice this phrase now, everyone listen. Verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 14 says, "And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The New Living Bible in verses 4 and 5 says it this way, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Hallelujah. The Message Bible says, "What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by." I like it in the Message in verse 5. "The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know the first recorded words of God in the Bible? You know what they are? The first time that we hear God speaking in the Bible, "Let there be light." We're going to talk about light this morning. About the light of God that came into the world when Jesus was born into this earth. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness." We looked at the prophecy right after Jesus was born. Mary and Joseph brought Him into the temple to dedicate Him to the Lord. And there was a man there that met them named Simeon. Remember the story of Simeon. The Lord had promised Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And Mary and Joseph bring in the baby Jesus into the temple to dedicate Him. And Simeon comes over to them. The Lord reveals to him, "This is the one. This is the one I've been telling you about. This is the one I promised you about." And He takes him up in His arms and He blesses him and He prophesies and He speaks this in Luke 2, verse 29. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples." Look at what He says about Him in verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He's saying that this child, Jesus, is going to be one who is going to be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Praise God. Do we have that picture of Simeon? Can you put it up there so everybody can see that? Did we get it in? Let's see that. If you can put it up there, I'd like to have it now. So, and is it coming? It's coming. All right. Praise God. There we go. Look at this. Have you ever seen this? I love this. If you want to get me a Christmas present, get me a print of this. This is Simeon. This is Simeon as he. I just love it. as he comes into the temple and he takes Jesus up in his arms and he begins to rejoice and he begins to prophesy. And he says, Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all people. He is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Just leave it up there. Leave that picture up there for a few minutes, Grayson. Have you ever, think about what Simeon says here. He says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. In other words, I'm ready to go now. I can die now, and I can die in peace. I'm going to ask you, have you ever thought about your own death? Maybe that's, you know, we think that's not something that we often think about. The older that I get, though, the thought comes to me, okay, you know, let's see here. I've got, 30, 40 more years on this earth. And boy, the last 30, 40 went by like that. So, you know, it's coming up here. But it's not something we normally want to think about. And I haven't thought about it often. But when I do, and you're probably like this too, it's not in terms of being afraid to die or what's going to happen to me. It's not like that. I know where I'm going, and I know to depart and be with Christ is far better. I'm fully know that and am confident in that. But it's in terms of, what about the people I'm leaving behind? Are they going to be okay? Is everything going to be all right with them? What about that? Isn't that the way you think about it? Is everything going to be all right? You know, I have some experience personally, as well as in my role as a pastor, you know, helping families walk through situations where a loved one is getting ready to pass. And we often talk about, okay, releasing them. You know, sometimes family members can hold on to folks, and sometimes folks are lingering, and we don't know why. We know they're ready to go. We know they're saved and ready to be with the Lord, and we don't want to see them suffer and things like that. And we say, well, it's time to release them. We use that term. It's time to release them and let them go. And one constant theme to reassure them, and I know of people that have done this, and I've encouraged them to do it, is just, you know, go to your loved one. You know, they may not, you know, it may be a place where they're not even able to respond. You know, they may be, you know, at that condition where they can't even respond. But I say, you know, they can hear you, you know, even though they may not be able to respond. But just go to them and let them know, you know what, Mom, you know what, Dad, you know what, Grandpa, you can go and be with the Lord. Everything is all right. We're going to be fine. We're going to be in a good place. That's what he was experiencing. He says, okay, I can go now. Because he's here. Because he's here. Because the light is here. Because your salvation is here. I can go now. I know everything's going to be all right because he's come. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And we looked at this last week, but I want to look at it again, too, in talking about the light in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9. He says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. And he says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Hallelujah. And we know, of course, that Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus, about how he would come. And the greatest percentage of his ministry was carried out there in Galilee, in that place where there was spiritual darkness. In the place where people were living in deep darkness, Jesus came and drove out that darkness with his preaching, with his teaching, with his healing, with his miracles. That light of God shined out of him and through him and drove the darkness out of people's lives all through the region of Galilee. That's why Isaiah prophesied those people in Galilee, they're going to see a great light. Hallelujah. The time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Hallelujah. That time of darkness and despair is over. Why? Because the light has come. Hallelujah. If you think about it, there's some things that light brings. First of all, light brings hope. You might want to write this down. Light brings hope. Hallelujah. Did you know, just in the natural, we have a phrase that we use, well, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Have you ever said that or thought that? What are you talking about? You're saying, well, there's hope ahead. I have hope that I'm going to get through this. I have hope that this, you know, that this is going to turn out okay. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible talks about that as well. In Acts 27, strangely enough, when Paul is on that ship and they're in, then they encounter, they get in the midst of that storm. And the Bible says this in Acts 27:20. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. They had no hope. Why? Because they didn't see the sun or stars. What do the sun and what do stars represent? Light. We had no light, so we had no hope. Light brings hope. Light brings hope. Hallelujah. The second thing is this. Light brings joy. Light brings joy. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life." Anybody glad of that? Amen. You know, his anger, yes, we can make God angry, and but that anger is just for a moment, but his favor over our lives is for a lifetime. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes when? Morning. Why does joy come in the morning? Because in the morning, what's that? That's when the sun comes up. That's when there's light. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So light brings joy. Hallelujah. Amen. The third thing is this. Light brings direction. Light brings direction. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That gives us direction. Jesus came. The light of Jesus coming into this earth means that we have hope. It means we have joy. It means we have direction and purpose. Amen. Peter says we've been redeemed from a useless and fruitless and purposeless way of living. We have purpose now because of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And I like this one. Light brings healing. Yeah. Light brings healing. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Hark the herald angels sing that Christmas carol. There's a line in there that says, "Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So the light brings healing. And there's another scripture on that that we'll look at in Matthew 4, verse 23. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would bring, that there'd be a light that would come to the Gentiles, that a light would come to the region of Galilee. And so we see it fulfilled here in the ministry of Jesus in Matthew 4:23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Hallelujah. Through Jesus' teaching, through his preaching, and through his healing, that light was manifested to the people of Galilee. Light brings healing. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then the next thing is this. Light brings both exposure of, but also freedom from our sins. Amen. Light brings both exposure of, but it also brings freedom from our sins. Amen. Praise God. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you know that's why you can't get some folks to come to church? Do you know that's why you can't get some folks, when you try to talk to them about the Lord, that they don't want to hear it? Why? Because they're living in guilt. They're living in shame. They're living in condemnation because they know that their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light. Amen? This is the condemnation, John writes here. That light, and in fact, these are the words of Jesus, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God came down in the garden? What did they do? They hid, didn't they? They hid. They were hiding from the light of the revelation of truth coming to them. They knew they had sinned, and so they were hiding. They didn't want to come to the light of God. And Jesus is talking about that right here. He says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But there's another element here that many people miss and many people don't see. And we're going to look at that now in John chapter 8. You know, this is the account of the woman that was caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verse 2. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about why they thought this would work? Why they thought this plot would work? That they could, okay, we're going to find something where we can trap Jesus, where we're going to get him to deny the law. And if we can get him to deny the law, if we can get him contrary, you know, to say something or to do something contrary to the law, then we've got him. Then we can convict him. Then we can get rid of him. Why did they think this would work? It had to be because they saw his compassion and his mercy that he extended to sinners. That had to be it. Why would they think, okay, and I've got several questions here for these people that did this. Number two, where's the man? You can't commit adultery by yourself, folks. Right? There's got to be two, right? All right. So where was the man at? Why didn't they bring him? All right. And so they bring her. They think this is gonna entrap Jesus because we're gonna bring this woman in. We're gonna say that she was caught in adultery, and it was true. It happened, and we're gonna say that she was caught in adultery, and we're gonna tell Jesus, and we're gonna bring to Jesus what the law says. The law says she should be stoned. What do you say? They knew Jesus did not want to stone this woman. And they thought that's gonna do it. We're gonna have him trapped. Why? They knew that Jesus wasn't out to extend judgment, but Jesus was out to extend mercy. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior. Hallelujah. Now, don't misunderstand. Jesus is not condoning sin. Amen. Jesus doesn't say, okay, well, we're just gonna forget about sin. God doesn't care what you do. He's not condoning it, but his heart, God's heart. And that's what Jesus came to reveal, the heart of God. God's heart is to extend mercy. God's heart is to show mercy. Amen. And so they said, okay, we think we've got him, okay? And so they said, what do you say? Moses commanded that such should be stoned. What do you say? Are you going to speak contrary to the law? If you do, then we've got you. He stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, come on, Jesus, what is it? What will it be? He raised himself up and said to them, all right, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. You're right. The law says that she should be stoned. And the one of you that's here that's without sin, then you're qualified to do it. Now, there was one among them that was qualified to do it. He could have, but he would not. They would have, but they could not. Hallelujah. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. You know, there's some wisdom that comes with age. Some of those younger Pharisees were so zealous, they thought, well, you know, we just might qualify for this. The older ones knew, there's no way. We can't do this. We're not qualified. Amen. And they went out, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He wasn't condoning. He didn't say, I condone you. I condone what you've done. But he just said, I'm not going to condemn you. Go. And then he said, go and sin no more. Letting us know, yes, that was sin. That was wrong. But he released her and he said, go and sin no more. Now, and Reed, come on back up if you would. I want you to notice what he says. The very next words out of his mouth, after he tells the woman, go and sin no more. Very next words, right after this episode, the very next thing that he says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Why did he equate that? Why did he make that assertion? Why did he make that declaration right after this episode? Right after this situation? Because of this. Because yes, the light brings exposure of our sin. But more than that, see, the light of the old covenant, and there was light that came through the law. There was light that came through God's law. The Bible talks about the glory even came on Moses' face when he got the law. But you know what? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians and says, the glory of this new covenant exceeds the light of the glory of the old. The light that was in the old covenant could expose sin. But the light of this new covenant, it doesn't just bring light and exposure. This light brings life. This light brings life. Hallelujah. The life of God to deliver us. The life of God to empower us to go and sin no more. The life of God to make us into a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. Hallelujah. I am the light of... Put that back up there if you would. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, this light that Jesus brought, it has life in it. Hallelujah. The life he brought has life, has light, and the light he brought has life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light, this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not extinguish it. The darkness could not overpower it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, but while he was still Saul of Tarsus, he knew something about that Old Testament light. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. He was more zealous than all the rest of them, zealous for the law, zealous for that light of God that exposed sin. And in his zeal, he was persecuting these followers of Jesus. And he was on his way from Jerusalem up to Damascus because he heard there was a gathering of those believers, those followers of Jesus in Damascus, and he was going to put them in prison and even perhaps put them to death. But he encountered the light. While thus occupied, he's recounting his experience before King Agrippa. And he said, while thus occupied, meaning occupied in persecuting the followers of Jesus, while thus occupied, in Acts 26:12, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. Now, again, think about it. For the most powerful effect, when would you want to shine your light? When everything was dark around. But Jesus, the light of Jesus was so great and so powerful that Jesus said, you know, I can do this. I can do this in the brightest of daylight, and it's still powerful. It's still dramatic. It's still effective. He says, it was midday. It was middle of the day. That's when the sun is at its zenith. That's when the sun is the brightest. And at midday, the light of Jesus shined so bright that it was even noticeable. You know, you'd think you wouldn't even notice. You know, try turning your flashlight on when you're outside at midday. You can't tell it's on, can you? But this light was so great that it was so much brighter than the midday sun. Hallelujah. And this light of Jesus, he said, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. In verse 15, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, not to kill you, but to save you, to redeem you. Hallelujah. My light has come because there's life in this light. I don't want to kill you. I want to redeem you. I want to use you. I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you've seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, look at this now, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from what? From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul encountered that light, and then he began to spread that light. See, that's God's plan for every one of us. He wants us to receive this light. He wants us to experience this light that brings life to us. And then He wants us to spread this light. He wants this light that we've received. He wants it then to shine out of us. Hallelujah. To everybody around us. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what He said to us in Matthew 5. That's where we get the name of our church. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Talking to His followers. Talking to those who believe on Him. You are the light of the world. Yeah, Jesus is. But so are we. As He has shown in our hearts. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they put a lamp. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Well, He's lit your lamp, folks. Amen. He's lit, you know, He's lit my lamp. He's lit your lamp. Amen. Well, once your lamp has been lit, you don't put it under a basket. But on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Saul, who became Paul, who encountered this light and began to spread this light, later on wrote to the to the people in Philippi that he had brought the light to. You know, that's where that great testimony of where they were in the jail. Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi. And remember what happened? They were in jail in Philippi, and it was dark. It was dark in that jail, wasn't it? And the Bible says that they began to pray and sing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And what happened? There was an earthquake. Everybody's chains fell off. And the keeper of the prison, the jailer, was going to kill himself. The Bible says he came in and brought a light in so he could see. And he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And the man got saved. The jailer and his household got saved. And that's where the church of Philippi got started. That's where it got started. And so later, Paul wrote a letter to them, to the Philippians. And he said this to them. He said that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something, you may not see it, but in the realm of the Spirit, oh my, my. You know, if we could see into the realm of the Spirit, do you know how the devil sees us? Bright light. Bright light. Bright light. The devil and demons see us as bright light. And do you know what? You may not realize it, but other people that don't know the Lord, that don't have hope, when you live your life with the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you live your life with the hope of Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, your Deliverer, your Healer, your Provider, if you live your life that way, people can't help but see that light shining out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to pray for you right now.